reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Old Testament reading is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 797. And we read Isaiah 66, beginning at verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and his chariots like the whirlwind, to render his anger in fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire will the Lord enter into judgment, and by his sword with all flesh, and those slain by the Lord shall be many. Those who sanctify and purify themselves to go into the gardens, following one in the midst, eating a pig's flesh and the abomination and mice, shall come to an end together, declares the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and from them I will send the survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands far away that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots and in litters, and on mules and on dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And some of them also I will take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me. For their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from the book of Revelation, found on page 1323, and we read Revelation 7, beginning at verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, found on page 1135, and we read verses 43 through 46. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gospel text we have before us. You notice right away, Jesus is beginning to call his disciples. And he calls Philip, and all he says is, "Follow me." And Philip, up, out, we're on the road with Jesus. It's an amazing thing, but it really shouldn't surprise us. I mean, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Whatever God says, yes. Don't want to bring up your place right away. Whatever God says happens. But look what happens. Philip, he gets all excited. He knows somehow who Jesus is. He is that long-awaited prophet, the one that Moses and the law and the prophets had all talked about. They're waiting hundreds of years now. And Philip knows he's here. He's here. So he runs to tell his friend Nathanael. And Nathanael, that's my disappearing act. Kind of like Nathanael wanted to do. Nathanael, he begins to debate with him. He doesn't get up and instantly follow him. He's, wait a minute. Come on. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now notice, Philip, he doesn't try and do anything. No debates with Nathanael. No arguing. No giving of orders. He just says, "Come and see." God, he has given to us many, many good things. First of all, our life. He knitted us together in his womb. And he's given us the health to sustain that life right down to our every breath. Have you ever thought of that? That every breath that you take is a gift from God? One of the consequences or one of the things that happens at the hospital is that I meet people almost every day who, when they woke up that morning, did not realize that they would not be breathing by the time the sun set. For God had said that their time had come. Every day, every breath is a gift from God. More than that, God has made you His special children. How? Through the waters of holy baptism. You know, in Acts, the second chapter, there's a part, Peter's talking to the Jews, and I mean the ones that have crucified Jesus. They are the ones that killed him. And they say, and they're going, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We have killed the Messiah that we have been waiting for. He comes and we kill him. What are we going to do? And they realize that they need to do something. And Peter simply tells them.
Okay, microphone not on. I usually don't work with a mic, as you can tell. But Peter simply tells him, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And everybody seems to remember that part that I encounter in the hospital. But they have forgotten the very end of that, which is, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes to live right within our hearts. So, that turns out to be quite an important thing later on. I don't know, have you ever strayed? I know I have. And it was a very important thing for me to know that I found in Romans later on that we do not know how to pray and we do not pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit prays for us in groanings that are too deep for words. And He, meaning God the Father, knows the mind of the Spirit and He searches the heart. So even when I was, or maybe you were, farthest away from God, the Holy Spirit is praying fervently for you. And who better to have praying for you than God Himself? So He has given us the great gift of faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And He has also brought us to realize what we are. And that is that we are sinners. There's no way around that. If you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you have to first need something to be saved from. If you don't have anything you need to be saved from, you do not need a Lord and Savior. And so we hear in the words of confession, after we confess our sins to God, we hear Him through the voice of the pastor forgive our sins and assure us of them. And then even further, knowing that that wouldn't be enough, God gives us the Lord's Supper, His true body and blood given for us to eat and drink, that our faith may be strengthened and preserved unto life everlasting. But a Christian life, the thing about a Christian life with all these wonderful things, it is not a spectator life. How often do you have the opportunity to share the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ with others? But we don't. Why is that? Well, for me, I don't know. Maybe it's the same for you. There were times when I was worried about what others would think. I didn't want them to think I'm some kind of a religious nut, which I later became. But, jumping out there sometimes with the people that we're with in our secular world and confessing our faith can put us just a little bit out of the mainstream and we get uncomfortable. Or maybe, I know there were times I thought, well, I don't really know enough about the Bible. What if they ask me something I don't know? And I'm going to look stupid. And I'm so full of the sin of pride that I don't like to look stupid. So I'll avoid the situation altogether. Or for me, the last one was that people might get angry, especially family members. You have any family members that are not believers, that are not faithful in their church attendance? Because you see, the thing is, faith is just like a plant. We get the free gift of faith, but we have to nurture it. If you don't water a plant, if you don't give it plant food, it is going to die. And if you don't nurture your faith, if you don't feed it, it is going to die. That is why you come to the divine service, to hear God's word read and preached, so the Holy Spirit can strengthen your faith through God's word. And then we receive his sacrament, his true body and blood, where God further delivers to us forgiveness. And he strengthens and preserves our faith unto life everlasting. And our faith is strengthened as we hear Jesus, through the voice of the pastor, tell us that everything is all right. Your sins are forgiven, and I love you. But if you don't nurture your faith, it can die. And one of the reasons we may not invite people to come to church for me within my family is because I don't like them to get mad. And I have a brother I love dearly, that I have a lot of fun with, who has fallen from the faith. And I would always tell him to come and see. Come to church. I'd tell him, you need to go to church. And boy, he got angry. And there was a period of 2 years where my brother did not speak to me. We finally spoke. My father died. We had to speak. And the second thing I said to him was, have you been to church lately? That didn't go over so good. And he said, you know, I just wish that I could have my brother back who wasn't a pastor. And I said to him, it's not because I'm a pastor that I am doing this. It is because I love you. And I want you to have eternal life in God's kingdom with me, with all of our family. You see, as we look at the Great Commission, Jesus has told us the most important thing is spreading his word. The last thing he says in Matthew is, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have taught you, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Now, before I went to the seminary, I'm a second, maybe a third career guy, so I had a long time in the secular world. Okay, baptize. Only an ordained pastor can do that. Can't be talking to me there. Pastor's job, to be the one out there saying, come and see. Well, I've come to study that. And you know what? Oh, sure, it is the pastor's job, but it is no more the pastor's job than it is each and every one of yours and my job. We are the ones that God uses today. We are the Philips to the Nathaniels who say, come and see. I mean, think about it. If you had the cure for cancer, you knew definitively how to cure it, what would you do other than anticipate large profits from the pharmaceutical industry? Wouldn't you share it with the whole world? Folks, we have the cure for eternal death here. Think about it. Eternal life. Way better than the cure for cancer. Why are we not shouting this from the rooftops? It really is true. You know? And is it really a bad thing for the people who you associate with to know that you are a Christian? And you know what? You don't have to know everything about the Bible. In fact, you don't have to know anything. All you have to do is say, come and see. Say it with me one time. Come and see. Not that hard, was it? You could do that. And then when you do it, think about this. I moved every 11 months growing up. I went to 4 different high schools, 4 different states. I know firsthand from over and over what it's like to walk into a church where you don't know anybody. I could see, kids can sense the apprehension, the anxiety in my parents. What do you wear? Where do you sit? What are they going to say to us? Are they going to even talk to us? You wonder all those things. The hardest thing to do is to walk through a door of a church where you don't know anybody. And you can't sit and wait for people to walk through. For the sake of saving souls for eternity, invite your family, your friends, your neighbors, the cashier, to come and see and tell them what the people wear. Offer to meet them at the door. Sit with them. Introduce them to others. You know, Pew Research shows that it takes somebody being asked 9 times before they go to church. Now, all you have to do is say, come and see. You just did a minute ago. Took under 3 seconds. Wasn't that stressful on you? It's an easy thing to do. You might be number 6. You might be number 7. And they say no. But this much is clear. The person who is 8 and 9 can't be 8 and 9 unless you're 6 and 7. It doesn't matter the results that you get. St. Paul said that I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. All we are called to do is to plant seeds and water them. Invite people to church, plant the seed, water them, keep them coming to church. When you see your brothers and sisters in Christ that may not have been in a while, tell them you'd love to see them back again, how much you miss them. That is what we are called to do. So, and the other thing is, God's Word tells us that faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. If somebody never hears the Word of Christ, that's how the Holy Spirit creates faith at first. They're not going to get faith. And how are they going to hear the Word of Christ if they don't come to the divine service? The liturgy of the divine service, we're just saying back to God what He has first said of us. You hear the divine God's word read and preached in the divine service, and that gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to work faith. This is the way that God has decided to do it. It's His system. Because God has promised to be at this altar. So just like Philip knew where the Messiah was, you know where God is, where He has promised to be. God Himself. All you have to do is say, come and see. We have such a great message to share because of God's love shown for us in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know the rest of our story. It's like we've peeked ahead and we've read the last chapter of our lives. And we know that we will be in paradise with God and all of our loved ones for eternity. The only question is, what happens between now and when we get there? So, Jesus has promised to be with us always. Take heart. He is with you. Ask others to come and see, because the day is going to come. You have one more coming to you. In St. John's Gospel, Jesus says, and it's so often to be troubled about asking people to come and see, nervous, anxious, don't want to do it. Anybody but me. But it is you in the unique situations God puts you in. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So, you know that the time is coming. Unless Jesus returns first, none of us is going to get out of here alive. Death is not natural. It's a result of a sinful, fallen world, but it's merely the gate that we walk through as we hear God tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. It is time for you to enter into the joy of your master. And then as we get through that gate, here in God's word, it tells us that Jesus will be greeting us and he's going to say to you, come and see. You're going to love this place that I have prepared specifically for you. Come and see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.